नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
इहैव तैर्दितः सर्गो येषां साम्येति तं मनः निर्दोषं हि समं ब्रह्म तस्माद् ब्रह्मणि ते स्थिताः।
ट्रांसलेशन
whose minds are established in sameness and equanimity have already conquered the conditions of birth and death. They are flawless like Brahman, and thus they are already situated in Brahman.
Here it explains, after one comes to the stage of equanimity, of vision, what happens to a person? The Brahman realization becomes a byproduct for him. Actually, all these shlokas have their root from shloka number 17, if you see shloka number 17, what was it? Tad buddhayas tadatmanas tan nishtas tat parayana. Who is the tat? That is the supreme truth. Which is most important. So, tat buddhaya sadatmana sannishta sat parayana. One who is parayana, worshipping the Supreme God. One who is engaging his buddhi, engaging his mind, engaging his body in his service. Such a person reaps all these fruits which are all told in the subsequent shlokas. Beginning from 17, beginning from 18 up to 26. There is a continuous series of shlokas. Lord Krishna is talking about the results the person reaps by surrendering to that Supreme God. So, this goes to show that if one surrenders to Bhagavan, as said in 17th shloka, one reaps the benefit of Brahman realization as a byproduct, which is told in the 19th shloka. Equanimity of mind, as mentioned above, is the sign of self-realization. Those who have actually attained to such a stage, suppose we are talking about, as long as one identifies with his body, he is considered a conditioned soul. But as soon as he is elevated to the stage of equanimity through realization of self, is liberated from conditional life. This is the stage of Brahma Bhuta. When one sees in every body, one sees the soul, then one comes to Brahma Bhuta stage, which is also a subset of the Bhagavan realization. If you know Bhagavan, you also know Paramatma and Brahman. Such a person, what is his behavior? It is explained in shlokas 20, 21, 22. As I was explaining you last time, shlokas 18 to 22 is a vision of the realized soul. You can make a note. Shloka number 18 to 22 is vision of the self-realizer. How does he see? In the 18th shloka, we saw Vidyavinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavihaste. He sees with equal vision. The 19th shloka, we see that he is situated as flawless as Brahman, purely. Then here in the 20th shloka, he further explains. Na prakrishyet priyam prasya,
na prakrishyet priyam prasya,
na vijet prasya cha priyam,
na vijet prasya cha priyam,
tira buddhira sammoodho,
tira buddhira sammoodho,
brahma vid brahma nishtitaha,
brahma vid brahma nishtitaha.
Translation.
The person neither rejoices upon achieving something pleasant, nor laments upon obtaining something unpleasant. Who is self-intelligent, who is unbewildered, and who knows the science of God, is already situated in transcendence.
Then one is free from desire or hatred, that means attachment and aversion. When one is free from that, then one's intelligence is called as Charabuddhi, as it is explained here. Then one can have Charabuddhi. He will not rejoice in the situation where he is put in a pleasant condition, or he will not lament when he is put in a unpleasant condition. Rather, he remains very sharp and fixed in his own self. So this is the condition of a sage in equanimity. So one who identifies himself with the body, he has to be forced to remain in the situation of desire or hatred. As long as he identifies the body, there has to be desire or hatred. You like some things and you don't like some things. For example, at the level of body, we distinguish between man and woman. There is an attraction between man and woman, which is simply based on the bodily platform. If one does not see the body, one sees only the self. This kind of attraction can be very easily mitigated, very easily overcome. Because what is this body made up of? A man's body is made up of 5 elements. Woman's body is made up of 5 elements. Is there any sex in the elements? Then why should a man become attracted to woman? Still there is attraction because one identifies with the body. Similarly, one identifies with the state when there is India cricket, India-Pakistan cricket match. People sometimes get even fever. There are cases of people getting high fever looking at the television. Who is going to win, India or Pakistan? And they break so many televisions. Whether they win or lose, there is going to be a big damage. Everyone knows that. Whether they win, if they win, they burn the buses to show their happiness. If they lose, they break the television. As we were saying sometimes before, they broke some songs of the television to show how angry they were when India loses a match. Or people get such depression, psychotic depressions, that they have to be treated by psychiatrists. So this goes to show the extreme desire and hatred that is based on bodily identification. Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam condenses it, calling it as Bhauma Ijjati. Tasyatma Buddhi Kunate Tridhatuke Sadi Kalatradishi Bhauma Ijjati. It says Sadi Kalatradishi Bhauma Ijjati. Bhauma Ijjati is attachment to one's land is condemned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Why is a person attached to one's land? Because he thinks this land is glorious because of my birth in this land. Such a great personality as myself was born in this land. So this land is very glorious. That is why everyone is attached to his motherland. Why do you say motherland? Because they are attached to land because of their own body. So this kind of identification also leads to desire and hatred. And then we have social riots, one group and another group. There are group formations. Similarly, there is racism. Whites and blacks had such fights for over prolonged periods of time. There is to be such fights between one caste and another caste. All these things are based on different kinds of bodily identification. So this desires and hatred arises from bodily identification. But a soul who is explained here, socialized soul, he has overcome that. So he has no desire or hatred. In fact, such a realization results in a mature response from the side of the socialized soul. For example, if he is put in a very pleasant condition, he does not rejoice. If he is put in an unpleasant condition, he does not lament. I can give vivid examples in the Shastra for this. Avadhuta Brahmana explains in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Prahlad Maharaj, after being incarnated as a king, one day was going into the forest, and he found Avadhuta Brahmana lying in the form of Ajigar Vritti, like a mountain serpent, which keeps its mouth open and just lies down without moving here and there for catching a prey. Why it is called as Ajigar Vritti? Because this mountain snake just keeps its mouth open, and if some prey goes into its mouth, it eats it, otherwise it doesn't eat anything. In the same way, there are many great self-realized souls who don't even beg. If somebody comes and gives them something, they will accept. Otherwise, they just fast for several days. So this Avadhuta Brahmana was like that. When Prahlad Maharaj met him and inquired him about the principles of religion, he gave very good advice. A small portion of that we can recollect now. Avadhuta Brahmana was telling Prahlad Maharaj that I never glorify life, I never glorify the body or life, I never curse the death because life is temporary. And I have undergone so many stages in my life. Sometimes I have slept on ordinary open land, on a stone. Sometimes I have slept on a very nice cushioned bed, which is spread with velvet. Sometimes I sleep in a bushy leaf. Sometimes I sleep in the graveyard on the ashes. In this way, I sleep in whichever place I am put in. Similarly, he said, sometimes somebody comes and offers me some rejected food, which is not worth of eating, still I accept it. Sometimes I'm offered very palatable foodstuffs, which are cooked very opulently in ghee. Sometimes I don't get anything to eat. Sometimes I get in the morning, sometimes I get in the night. So in whatever situation I'm put in, I accept this food. Similarly, sometimes I am respected as a king, and I am made to sit on the back of an elephant, very nicely decorated with a garland and a crown, and with jewels and ornaments and silken dress. And I am made to sit on the back of an elephant, and with trumpets and music, I am taken on a wonderful procession, and I have accepted that. And on the other hand, sometimes I am stoned by people, I am thrown away and neglected, not being even looked at, totally neglected. I have been in such situations. So he goes on explaining like this. Srila Prabhupada in the purport explains that this Avadhuta Brahmana is describing how the living entity is undergoing varieties of conditions in various lifetimes. In different lifetimes, the living being is put into varieties of situations. It can be seen in that way. And even if it is seen that these situations come in the life of a person in the same life, if he is a self-realized soul, he will not be disturbed. Like we see how Jadabharata, when he was bathed by the dacoits and he was garlanded, they put bindi, they dressed him very nicely and made him sit and they little nice footsteps, he ate them and they took him in front of Kali and they were about to amputate his head. He didn't even resist, he didn't even show any objection, opposition, but Kali stopped them from killing him. So centralized people, we see that they have, they never rejoice in situations where they are put in a pleasant situation, or they never lament also. So this is a very high platform in which a person is completely remaining in an equipoised state. We see King Priyavrat when he was in the forest, in the mountain top, performing penance. Sandhu Manu and Brahmaji, they all came and offered him the post of the king of the world. They told him, Priyavrat, you come back home, because Uttarapada has left home, there is nobody to rule the entire world except you, please come back home and you take up the kingdom. What will you or me do when we are in such a position? If you get an opportunity to become the king of the entire world, such a prestigious position. In India you can see, not only in India, in any country, to become a prime minister or a president, how people fight. How much fight is going on? In American television sometimes they show two parties cursing each other. This is a very big subject of interest for the people. They can show how this fellow will tell all the mistakes done by other person, and the other person will say all the faults done by this person. And for people it's a very wonderful, enjoyable, nice thing to see for days and days. This goes on like that. So people are fighting and screaming and yelling at each other, ultimately to achieve the post of that one chair. Sometimes in parliament one person sits, other person pulls his leg. He goes and sits there. You can see these things happening in parliament. People are so fond of achieving posts. Not only that, people do not know that the king of a country has to take 1/6 of the bad karma of the people. If only prime minister can be given a vision of what is the 1/6 of the bad karma of the country, he will run away from the post. So still people are very anxious. But here is a king, Priyavrata, who was offered the post of the entire world. But he said, no, I don't want to come back. Because he was very much pleaded by Swayambhu Manu and then advised and ordered by the original spiritual master, Brahmaji. Ultimately accepted the post, involuntarily he accepted. And he remained in the post just like a cashier sitting in a bank, is receiving lakhs of rupees, crores of rupees and giving off lakhs of rupees, crores of rupees without getting disturbed. Nobody is going to be disturbed because it is not his money. So in the same way, King Priyavrata was ruling like that. So he was not deriving great pleasure in becoming a king. So we may derive great pleasure because we identify ourselves with the post. That's the reason. Similarly, Sadama Vipra also was offered such a great wealth by the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam explains the Vipra Pastam very wonderfully. How Sadama Vipra was so poverty stricken in the beginning. His body was emaciated. Only skeleton was seen. He never wanted to go to the Lord for asking for wealth and prosperity. But his wife, seeing the condition of her husband, even she didn't want wealth and prosperity. But she was very pained to see her husband in such a condition. So she pleaded him, please kindly go to your dearmost friend Lord Krishna in Dwaraka. He is the wealthiest in the entire creation. He can offer you something. You go and meet him. And he thought, I should take something with me when I am going to meet my friend. Because it is an etiquette to go with some gifts when you go to meet a friend. And what could they give from their home? They were so poverty stricken, there was nothing to give from their home. So they went to the neighborhood and baked some very low quality chipped rice. and he tied it in a cloth and he took it with him. So when he entered Dwaraka, he saw such a beautiful big palaces, and in one of those palaces Lord Krishna was there. And Krishna came running and embraced Sudama and took him into the palace and made him sit in his own bedstead where he would sit with Rukmini. And he washed his feet, he performed arati, he treated Sudama exactly like a Kshatriya would treat a Brahmana. So Lord was showing by his own example, so nicely treated. And Sudama Vipra actually came to Dwaraka only to get darshan of Krishna. That was his only motivation in coming to Dwaraka. He never had an idea that I will go and beg for some bread, I will beg for some bungalow or beg for some bread. He didn't beg anything. They both were actually remembering about the Gurukula days, how they were intimate friends. So they were having confidential exchanges, and the Lord was serving himself, and Rukmini was fanning, and all the inmates of the palace were completely stunned to see this sight. So Lord was speaking to Sudama for quite some time, and the Lord asking, what have you brought for me? And Sudama was feeling so shy, how can I show this low quality cheap rice? Here I am seeing Lord fed me with such foodstuffs made of ghee, such preparations. How can he eat this? This is not fit for him. So he didn't want to give it, but the Lord pulled it. Lord understood that he is having it, so Lord took it, took the cheap rice. And laughingly Lord started putting one by one morsel in his mouth. So every morsel he put in his mouth, actually just took one or two morsels. Immediately there at the place of Sudama Vipra, beautiful bungalows are coming up in no time. Lord has just a will in his mind. When he wills something, it immediately takes place. And when he seeing that Lord is eating this cheap rice, she immediately caught his hand and said, enough, nothing more. Please leave something for myself and my servants, servant maids, and for the other queens. Because at least you have to get one grain each. So, in this way she begged the Lord not to eat more. Her actual intention was that the Lord should not eat such a low quality cheap rice because it will spoil his intestines, which are too soft. That was her idea. So, she stopped him. And Sudama later on, when he was going back on the way, he was thinking about how Lord loved me so much. He was so kind to me. He treated me like this. All these things were coming in his mind again, and he was crying tears. When he went back home, Vishwanath Chakravarti explained beautifully, where is my house? He asked the first thing. What is this? And then he asked, is this my house? So he was completely stunned, seeing such a beautiful bungalow and all these things. But then he could understand it is all Krishna's arrangement. That he says, just like the clouds in the sky, when they see the offerings given by the farmers, the clouds become very excessively pleased. And the clouds feel that our offering to the farmers is insignificant, whereas the farmers' offering to us, the grains, is so great. Feeling like this, the clouds feel very shy, that they go to one corner of the sky and they don't even show up. And when all the farmers go to sleep in the night, the clouds come in the sky and they pour down heavily throughout the night. So the next day morning, the farmers will see that the entire field is flooded with water. In the same way, the Lord was feeling that what can I offer to this great devotee of mine? He is so great that he brought this chip rice, which is valuable and which cannot be considered in par with anything of the three worlds. Cannot be considered. I cannot offer anything in return. I have no qualification. At best, I can offer something as I have offered to Brahma or Indra. And how can I offer something so trivial to this Brahmana? Feeling in this way, Krishna did not offer him anything at that time. And Sudama Vipra went back home, he saw everything was present in front of him. Just like the clouds come in the night, silently, without the farmers noticing it, in the same way the Lord silently gave all this wealth to Sudama Vipra. The point here is, when Sudama went inside his house, he remained as the same Brahmana. There are some verses towards the end, you should read it in Srimad Bhagavatam. It explains how Sudama Vipra did not even budge one inch from the mood of his devotion for Krishna. He could clearly see that everything belonged to Krishna. He didn't want to enjoy all those things. He never enjoyed them. In fact, he used all of them in Krishna's service. So this was such a pleasant thing that came in his life. The wealth of Sudama was like, it even surpassed the wealth of Indra and Brahma, it is said. So much wealth was offered to him, but he did not become overjoyed. He didn't jump like a monkey. When we get something, even a small thing we get, we become so overjoyed. But Sudama never said, oh my dear, why so much God has given us, now we have nothing to worry in our life, let us now enjoy now. He didn't say like that. He had everything to enjoy, but he knew that nothing of this is mine. I was living in a small cottage, again God has given me all these things. Even if God tells me to go back to the small cottage, I would not mind. That was his mood. So a devotee is clearly able to see that everything belongs to the Lord. And it is not meant for my enjoyment. It is meant for Lord's enjoyment. Similarly, in the second Leela, I was very much remembering this pastime of one very great devotee called as Vasudeva Datta. When Lord Chaitanya went to South India, he visited a place called as Kurma Kshetra. There he met one Kurma Brahman. And at the house of Kurma Brahman, Mahaprabhu was talking to him, and Kurma Brahman wanted to leave everything aside and join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu told him, no, 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 you should stay at home and you should preach and you should practice Krishna consciousness. And Mahaprabhu left his home and went away, and Vasudeva Datta was living a little distance away. He came to know that Lord Chaitanya has visited Kurma Kshetra. He wanted to meet him because long ago he had heard that Lord Chaitanya is Lord Krishna himself, who has descended in the age of Kali Yuga for the sake of studying the Nama Sankirtana, the holy name of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So he knew about him, he had heard about him, that he is having a golden complexion, he is the most beautiful, he is studying the Nama Sankirtana all over the villages all over India and South India. So he was very, very eager to meet him. When he came to know Lord Chaitanya came, he went running, although he was suffering leprosy in his body. So there used to be worms that would be crawling in his body, in his thighs, in his hands. And that body was having leprosy. And it is said Vasudeva Datta was such a great devotee that he felt compassion for even such tiniest living entities like the worms, that he would put back the worms in his body again if they fall off his body, saying that you deserve to eat this. Without eating this, how will you survive? He was such a great soul. But when he came to the Kurum Kshetra, and when he came to the Kurum Brahmana's house, Lord Mahaprabhu had already left from there. So Vasudeva Datta was cursing his fate. He was beating on his head and crying, how unfortunate am I that I missed the darshan of Lord Chaitanya. Condemned is my life. So in this way he was crying, Lord Chaitanya, who went away a little distance, again he came back. Understanding, because he was super soul in the heart of everyone, he understood that Vasudeva Datta is waiting for me now. He has come to see me. So he came and saw Vasudeva Datta. And seeing his condition, Lord Chaitanya, by his mercy, completely transformed his body into a beautiful body, which was golden in complexion, tenacious body, powerful body. Just imagine if you had a very crippled and dirty and ugly looking body, and if it is transformed into a beautiful, handsome body, which has beautiful senses, you have tenacious body, how will you feel? Everyone is trying to make their body as beautiful as possible. Is it not in this world? Everyone is trying to make their body the most beautiful. We were saying in one of the classes how the cosmetic industries are booming because of the fear of old age. Because people don't want to grow old. People want to look very young and beautiful and calm the heart of other people. The main intention is to derive the love of other people. They want everyone to say, oh, you look so beautiful. You are so wonderful. Everyone is looking for that. But strangely enough, when Vasudeva Datta was offered such a beautiful body, he started crying. He was crying actually. He told Lord Chaitanya, why did you give me this body? When I had such a body with leprosy, I was constantly thinking of you. And people neglected me. And that was a great advantage for me. That because everyone neglected me, I could always think of you and remain humble. Now that you have given me a beautiful body, everyone is going to glorify me. And everyone is going to also glorify that you have given me your mercy to me. So how can I show my face outside? How can I go with this beautiful body? This was his mood. He never rejoiced when he was given a beautiful body. Just imagine. So this is the mood of the great devotee. So we can go on citing many examples for how great devotees don't rejoice when they are put in a pleasant condition. In the same way, they don't lament also when they are put in a difficult situation. I can give you one very extreme example. If it is difficult to understand, please just keep it with you. Maybe after some years of Krishna consciousness, you can appreciate this example. Lord Chaitanya once called all his devotees and told them, "You see, we are chanting Hare Krishna all day long, but why are we wasting our time in the night by sleeping? Why should we waste so much of our time? In fact, scriptures say that 24 hours we should chant the Lord's names." So he told all his confidential associates, "Come, let's all meet at Shiva Sangam and we will do nocturnal kirtans. Entire night we will have kirtans." So Lord Chaitanya, along with his very intimate associates, was meet at the house of Shiva. And Shiva Sangam used to have long night kirtans and very beautiful dancing. So in this way the kirtans would go on and on and on in the night. Every day, every night they used to have kirtans like this. So one day when they were having kirtans like this, Shiva heard some crying sound behind the house. And Shiva went behind the house and he came to know that his son has passed away. That's why all of them are crying. But Shiva was such a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. He was so much absorbed in the mood of pleasing Lord Chaitanya that he told all his relatives and friends that you should not make any noise. If you hear any noise now, I will throw you all out of the house. Lord Chaitanya is now in a very happy mood and is chanting and singing and dancing Lord's names. Do not spoil his mood. Saying like this, he also came back and joined the kirtan and he was also singing, dancing for a long time. But the others also came to know gradually. Then over a period of time, Lord Chaitanya came to know that this child had passed away. He got the news and the kirtan stopped. Afterwards, Lord Chaitanya asked to bring the child. He rose the child back to life and after the child went back on Vasubhaya. So this story goes to show how the devotee is so much absorbed in the mood of pleasing the Lord that even in such a predicament, he would not lament. Even in an unpleasant situation of losing one's own child, even in such a situation he wanted to please the Lord. He didn't forget to please the Lord even in such a situation. He was fixed. That's why we were reading Sthira, what is it? Sthira Asammudo. Sthira Bhakti Rasammudo, isn't it? Sthira Buddhi Rasammudo. When one has such a Sthira Buddhi, that spiritual intelligence with which one is determined to please the Lord, then one considers everything else secondary. Whether something is pleasant or something is unpleasant. There are many cases of large devotees put in very, very poverty-stricken conditions. Kodavacha Sridhar was one such poverty-stricken devotee. He had practically nothing. He decided his house in the top had so many holes. It had so many holes on the rooftop. When it would drain, all the rainwater would come into his house. But his clothes had more number of holes than his house top. He was wearing such clothes. He was wearing such tattered clothes. He was so poverty-stricken. And what was his business? He used to sell some banana leaves. And Lord Chaitanya in the form of Nimai Pandit would come and steal for some pastimes. But although he was living in such a poverty-stricken house, although he appeared to be so impoverished, still, this Kodavacha Sridhar had such a great devotion for Lord Krishna. He, anybody would easily identify his house only by knowing his chanting of Hare Krishna. Any time they would go, he would be constantly chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Any time one could hear the Hare Krishna mantra going on there. So Lord Chaitanya told him, "Kodavacha Sridhar, you are appearing to be the most neglected in the society. Just wait and see. A day will come and I will reveal the whole world the greatest treasure that you are hiding in your house." So Kodavacha Sridhar would ask him, "What is the treasure that I am having? You just come and see my house, there is nothing. You see my shop, this is all my property." But Lord Chaitanya would say, "Just wait and see." At a later time, when Lord Chaitanya started the non-cooperation movement of Sankirtana, big Sankirtana party against the Qazi who stopped the Sankirtana at that time, Lord was passing through the house of Kodavacha Sridhar. So actually Lord Chaitanya was leading the entire party, but he went to the house of Kodavacha Sridhar and he took the vessel that was kept outside his house for washing the legs of Kodavacha Sridhar, which was having so many dents and twists. He took the vessel and whatever water was there, he drank it, saying that by drinking this water I will become purified, he said. So all the devotees cried tears, seeing Lord Chaitanya drinking this water, which was actually used for washing the feet of Kodavacha Sridhar. And Kodavacha Sridhar, knowing this, came running outside. He was beating on his chest and crying, "Oh Lord, why are you taking water from this?" So Kodavacha Sridhar was put in such a poverty-stricken condition, in such an unpleasant condition, But he never gave up his devotional service. He was never cursing the Lord, he was never cursing his fate or destiny. He just went on in his devotional service. And even in the lives of the very recent acharyas like Srila Prabhupada, when Srila Prabhupada's business collapsed in Allahabad, lakhs of rupees were stolen. Prabhupada just gave a big laugh. He said, now my master is pulling me. Now Krishna wants me to give up everything and to become a pure devotee. And he wants me to go out of India to the West and preach. Asyaham anagrihnani harishyetardhanam shanay Prabhupada said. So Prabhupada never cursed the will of Providence. Why is this happening to me? I am such a wonderful devotee. I am chanting Hare Krishna every day. I am trying to do my best. Why is the Lord doing this to me? He never asked like that. He took it in a positive way. He said, Lord wants me to dedicate myself more and more. I remember one incident which happened particularly within ISKCON, probably in the last year or the year before that. There is a country called Armenia. There, always there used to be fights between Christians and the Hare Krishna devotees. Of course, the Hare Krishna devotees are going out everywhere and teaching. And the philosophy of Hare Krishna is completely transcendental. It is not pertinent to Christianity or Islam or Hinduism. It is a transcendental religion of Sanatana Dharma. But devotees are often faced with demons who always try to oppose them, stop them from teaching. In Armenia, some Christians used to always threaten the Krishna conscious devotees that if you are preaching here and converting Christians into Hindus, then we will finish your temple, we will demolish it. They used to always keep threatening. But Hare Krishna devotees always used to remain humble and continue preaching there. One day, some Christians came in a jeep with their guns and came into the temple and started shooting at devotees living in the temple. So devotees were running here, there. In that there was one devotee who used to always remain in the temple and make lot of khichdi for food for life, like we distribute food for life. So that Armenian temple is famous for distributing more than 200 plates a day. So they would distribute hundreds of plates like this, free prasadam distribution for the poor people. So they used to do this. So these devotees used to cook in the kitchen, and these devotees were shot in the face. So his entire face, most of part of the face became burnt, and one side of the body also became burnt by this. And he was immediately taken to the hospital and treated. So a few months later, in the hospital, he was interviewed by some press reporters. So the press reporters asked him, so what is the plan now? You see, you were a Hare Krishna before, and you were trying to cook some khichdi and distribute like this, and these people they're trying to kill you, somehow you survived. So what are your future plans in your life? He said, future plans, I will go back to the temple and I will cook khichdi and I will distribute and food for life. And he just didn't say that, he did that. He went to the temple, again he was cooking, he was singing Hare Krishna, smiling. So whenever people would see his burnt face, although they saw his burnt face and body on one side, on the other side they could see a ecstatic bliss on his face. Happily he was doing the same service, serving the khichdi and making khichdi for the Lord and distributing it in food for life. So even in such an unpleasant situation, the Lord's devotees remain fixed. So they don't have any aversion or attraction to anything material. Being sarabuddhi rasam mudo, they are never bewildered by any situation in which they are put in. When such situations come in our life, we sometimes become bewildered. So probably Lord doesn't understand me properly. You think like that. He has to give a little more information about myself. I have to give some clue. Think like that. He gets bewildered sometimes. Why is Lord acting like this? I am doing the right thing and Lord is giving me something wrong. Something is wrong somewhere. Nothing is wrong anywhere. That is only a bewilderment that comes. Here he is, asammudo, he says. That bewilderment doesn't come in the life of such a self-aware lifestyle. So when one is very exhausted in that way, one can understand the Lord's arrangement. So one does not rejoice by achieving something pleasant, and one does not lament by achieving something unpleasant. One simply lives for the sake of the Lord and nothing else. So one may accept very, very great opulences in service of the Lord, or one may reject everything when the Lord asks one to reject everything. The practical example is Yudhishthir. Yudhishthir was such a great king and such a great devotee of Krishna, but he never wanted the kingdom at all, because Krishna told Arjuna to fight. All the Pandavas are fighting against Duryodhana and associates, and they won the battle of Kurukshetra, of course, and then Yudhishthir was held as the king of the entire world. And Yudhishthira was ruling as a king. But the moment Yudhishthira came to know that Lord Krishna has ascended his abode, now Krishna is no more with me here, immediately he took his crown, struck it down and headed towards the north. He renounced everything right on the spot. What do we infer from this? That means if Krishna is there, for the pleasure of Krishna, I will do all these things. If Krishna is not there, then what is the use? Now Krishna has gone back to his abode. Then what is the meaning of my living? So he left everything and renounced everything and went away. This goes to show that a devotee lives only for the purpose of Krishna, only for the purpose of the Lord. So this is the consciousness of self realized soul. Sanaprasushe priyam prapya nosvijay prapya chapriyam sarabhudrasam mudo brahmavid brahmanistah. So one has to be brahmavid, that's very important. So unless one is fixed in Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot achieve this stage of equanimity. One cannot come out of the bodily consciousness and one cannot be fixed in the stage of the self. And as it is said here, for the pleasant or unpleasant situations, to be equipoised, one has to be a brahmavid. One has to be a knower of the absolute truth. Unfortunately, in the modern times, instead of taking us towards this condition of equanimity, the entire world is making such a widespread propaganda for making us more and more bodily conscious. You can see in modern times, bodily consciousness is given so much importance. Everywhere there are murders, suicides, and all these things are arising out of bodily consciousness only. So, while living in this world, we should always remember our constitutional position. Like when we come to these classes, we can remember our actual position and remind ourselves again and again so that we can remain equipoised in both the situations, in pleasant and unpleasant conditions. I think we can see one more shloka. All of you have you want to think over it, meditate over it more, or you want to hear one more shloka? Another 10 minutes?
ಬಾಹ್ಯಸ್ಪರ್ಶೇಸ್ವಸಕ್ತಾತ್ಮಿಂದತ್ಯಾತ್ಮನಿಯತ್ಸುಖಂ ಸಬ್ರಹ್ಮಯೋಗಯುಕ್ತಾತ್ಮ ಸುಗಮಕ್ಷಯಮಶ್ನುತೆ.
ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್:
Such a liberated person is not attracted to material sense pleasure, but is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized person enjoys unlimited happiness, for he concentrates on the Supreme.
Here there are two types of sukha explained. One is bahya sparsha, another one is nindati atmaniya sukham, atmaniya sukham. One is external, another one is internal. Bahya sparsheshva asaktatma. What means asakta? Unattached. So this kind of soul, self-realized soul, he is not attached to the bahya sparsha, the pleasure that is derived by the contact of senses and sense objects. Vindati, he enjoys. What does he enjoy? Atmaniya sukham. He enjoys in the self alone. Sa brahma yoga yuktatma. How? By engaging in the yoga of Brahma, the Supreme Lord. Sukham akshaya mashnate. Akshaya, know the meaning of the word akshaya? That which is never destroyed. Akshaya. Sukham akshaya mashnate. He experiences boundless bliss. So, as it is explained here, this is something very easy to understand. The external sense pleasure is what everyone is seeking in this world. Everyone is running after. You can read one of the lines in the purport. The purport explains, a person in Brahma Yoga or Krishna consciousness is so absorbed in the loving service of the Lord that he loses his taste for material sense pleasure altogether. The highest pleasure in terms of matter is sex pleasure. The whole world is moving under its spell, and the materialist cannot work at all without this motivation. But a person engaged in Krishna consciousness can work with greater rigor without sex pleasure, which he avoids. That is a test in spiritual realization. Spiritual realization and sex pleasure go ill together. One pleasure comes by sense indulgence, and another pleasure comes by sense abstinence. So, by sense indulgence, the pleasure one gets is flickering and it is very quick. But that pleasure is very short-lived. But the pleasure that one derives by surrendering oneself to the Supreme Lord as a devotee, that may take a longer time to achieve. But once achieved, it is everlasting. And one never loses it. It remains permanently with one. So we have to choose which pleasure do we want. Do we want quick recurring pleasure? Or do we want the everlasting pleasure that will always remain with us? But if we don't study now, we cannot pass the examination. So that is why my father is so cruel. Why should I worry? But if you don't worry about the exam now, then all day you will play like this and you will waste your time. Now playing is a very enjoyable thing now. But then when the exams come, you cannot fare well. In the same way, the quick pleasure which we get, sometimes you feel that enough, let me enjoy this quick pleasure. Who has seen tomorrow? People feel like that. But then tomorrow is going to come. You may say you have not seen tomorrow, but you'll be forced to see day after day. So one has different bodies like this. So the shastras stress one that one should learn to become asakta atma for bahya sparsha. Sparsha is a pleasure that is derived from the senses, which is condemned in the scriptures. As Balan Maharaj explains, Tanmaitunadigrihame disukam hitukcham kandu yanena karayoriva dukkha dukkham sutyantineha kripana bahudukkha bhaga kandutivan manasijam vishaheta dhiraha. He explains kandutivan manasijam vishaheta dhiraha. Manasijam means it is simply a mental concoction, but there is some pleasure in such a kind of activity. Just like itching, he gives the example of itching. When you itch, you think there is some pleasure in that activity. There is no pleasure actually. The more you itch, the more the itch grows severe. You know, there is a poison ivy, there is a plant called poison ivy. If one touches this poison ivy plant, immediately he gets this itching sensation all over the body. So wherever you touch, you want to itch that portion. When you itch it and touch it in another place, there also you want to itch. So in this way, gradually, you start itching different parts of your body, and all of your body starts itching. When you roll on the ground, you become like a red football. So all of your body keep on itching, 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 there is no solution to that. There is no end to that. In the same way, this sex desire is such a thing, that if one thinks, this one time let me satisfy it. And one time to satisfy it, it's like pouring oil into fire, that it grows further. So this poison ivy keeps on growing more and more. So the shastras compare this desire to itching sensation, which is very appropriate. So how can this itching sensation be overcome? Is there a solution? Yes, there is. What is the solution? Yeah. So when you touch poison ivy plant, what should you do? You should first take an ointment and apply in that place. And then spirit is going to continue to itch. And the second thing you should do is to tolerate the itch. So once you do these two things, that's what Krishna says. He says, Tam Tidikshasva Bharata. He says, one who has tolerated the itch can only succeed. Remember, I was giving the example of the Dilli Kaladu. So far, famous example. You will see Dilli Kaladu in the shop. When you see it in the glass, it looks so attractive. You want to immediately buy it and eat it. So those people, you just stand there and observe. There are many people coming. Some people buy the laddu and eat one. They want to go out of the shop, but the leg is not moving. Why? They want to eat one more. So they buy the second one. And they want to eat one more. Third one, fourth one, fifth one. After eating 10 laddus, someone is crying, no, 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 stop it. But the son is saying, now try one more. Son wants more. Isn't it? So you see that those people who have eaten so many laddus are not satisfied. Isn't it? And on the other hand, you see people who don't have money to buy it in the street. You can see them secreting saliva from their tongue. And they are also looking at the shop, but they have no money to buy. So those who have not tasted it are hankering for it. Those who have tasted it are suffering from stomachache. What is the best thing to do? Be detached. Be detached. That's the best thing to do. Just tolerate it and be detached. So remaining detached alone is not possible unless we attach ourselves to Krishna. It is not possible. We have to become attached to Krishna. Because the allurements offered by the material nature are so powerful that even the greatest of the greatest sages have fallen victim to the powerful influence of Maya. Kapila says a very beautiful verse. Balamme pasya maya ya trimaya dayino disham ya yonivati padakrantan bhuvi jimbena kevala. He is telling, just see the power of my illusory energy, Balamme Pashya Maya, which is appearing in the form of a beautiful woman. But simply by the movement of her eyebrows, she can make the king of the entire world follow in her footsteps. This is a verse by Kapila Muni. And it is not an exaggeration. The greatest king Alexander, although he conquered the entire world, he was so famous as a king, he used to fall at the feet of a prostitute simply for getting some flickering pleasure. So this is the nature of material world. This is not, we are not talking from philosophy, it is a practical reality. It can be seen in this world. This is called as Bahya Sparsha. So this subtilized soul is Bahya Sparshesha Asaktatma. He has become a Asaktatma. So when one becomes a Bahya Sparsha Asaktatma, then one considers it insignificant. Further, one has to derive a higher pleasure. So unless we derive higher pleasure through samadhi, in trance, in the Supreme Lord, we cannot give up the lower pleasure. If you are given nice, sweet peda to eat, made in milk, very, very tasty and delicious, will you ever look towards the mud? You never look towards a dry road. You are given very nice food to eat. In the same way, if you get a higher pleasure through devotion service, then the lower one can be very easily given up. It's not so difficult. So the great devotee Haridas Thakur was in such a trance, in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that he was absorbed in it completely, totally, that he was not even tempted a little by the invitation of the prostitute. So the prostitute arranged by Ramchandra Khan was trying to assassinate the character of Haridas Thakur, who was chanting. So first day she waited. So second day she waited. Third day she waited. But Haridas Thakur told her, "But after I finish my rounds, I will attend to you." But then he used to chant 22 hours a day. He used to chant 3 lakh names of Hare Krishna. So in this way he was chanting all day and he was deriving so much bliss that he was not even a bit tempted towards the beautiful form of the prostitute. So third day, instead of Haridas Thakur becoming transformed and allured, she became transformed into a great devotee. And she became a great Krishna's devotee. So this is the beauty of one who is absorbed in the transcendental service of the Lord. So Krishna explains about this kind of samadhi in the 6th chapter. He says there are 3 conditions with which one should perform such a absorption in transcendence. Sa nishchayena yoktavyo. First he says, sa nishchayena yoktavyo. One should engage in devotion service with utmost determination and with faith. This is the first requirement. Sa nishchayena yoktavyo. Yoga anirinna chetasa. And he says one should not deviate from the path at any point of time. That means, you know, the elements will keep on coming in your life, don't deviate from the path. When the temptation comes, just be detached and tolerate them and be progress in the path. Yoga anirinna chetasa. Sankalpa prabhavan tama tattva sarva asheshataha. He says there will be many, many desires that will arise from mental concoction. Sankalpa prabhavan tamans tattva sarvan asheshitaha. All the material desires in totality give them up completely, whispering. Tattva sarvan asheshitaha. Shesha means some balance. Asheshitaha means don't give any balance of material desires in the corner of your heart. Completely give them up. It says, manasevendriya gramam niyamya samantataha. From all sides, with the help of your mind, you control your senses, whispering. From all different sides, control your senses. That means the eyes, the nose, the ears, the tongue, and the skin. Using the help of pure mind, control all of them. So these 3 conditions Krishna says for performing meditation. So if one wants to meditate on the Lord completely, if you follow this standard, then you can very quickly achieve trance. And such a person who has achieved trance, what is his state? Yatadipo nivatasto nengate sapamasita. Yogino yata chittasya yungato yogamatmanaha. It is just like a lamp which does not even waver little bit. It does not waver in a windless place. In the same way, yogi yata chittasya, a controlled mind, one who has a controlled mind, such a person can engage in devotional service. Yogino yata chittasya yungato yogamatmanaha. Such a person is sits in trance. And in such a trance, one derives the greatest enjoyment. So there is a vivid description in the 6th chapter. So, for my own purification, I will repeat these statements as said in Sixth Chapter, where one experiences the greatest bliss in the stage of samadhi. So as Lord says, yatro paramate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya tatra caiva atmanatmanam pashyannatmani pashyati. And then he says, actually in this verse he says, yatra uparamate chittam, uparamate means all material mental activities stop at this stage. In the stage of perfection called as samadhi or trance, all one's mental material activities stop altogether. How? Niruddham yoga sevaya, through the performance of devotional service, through yoga. So mental activities completely stop. The mental activities, mental desires which are stored in the heart, they all completely cease to exist at that stage. Yatra caivaatma atmanam pashyan atmani pashyati. It is. And in that stage of perfection, how do you know that a person has become perfect? This perfection is characterized by a person who is able to see the self by his pure mind and to relish and rejoice in the self alone. Then he can understand that he has come to the perfect stage. He is able to see the self through his pure mind and also is relishing and rejoicing in the self. And in that stage, what is the happiness that he experiences? He says, Sukham atyantikam yatad buddhigrahyam atindriyam veti yatra caivayam sitaschalati tatvatah. He says, Sukham atyantikam yatad. In that joyous stage, one experiences boundless transcendental happiness, which is realized through the transcendental senses, buddhigrahyam atindriyam veti yatra caivayam. Being that sits in the truth, he says, sitaschalati tatvatah. One never departs from the truth. One is firmly fixed in the truth. This is the state of such a self-realized soul. He experiences boundless transcendental happiness in that stage. And while experiencing, he also feels, Sam ladva cha param labam manyate nadikam tadaha tasmin pito na dukke na guruna api vichagyate. He says, Yam ladva cha aparam labam. He thinks that the gain I have achieved by this trance, there is no greater gain to be achieved in this world. Yam ladva cha aparam labam. Aparam means something else. There is nothing else to be achieved. Na param labam manyate adhikam tataha. But nothing greater gain can be achieved. That means titena dukkena gurunapi chalate. Being so thus firmly fixed, even in the midst of greatest difficulty, such a devotee never gives up devotional service. He is firmly fixed. He says. So Krishna says, tandidya dukkha samyogam, yogam yoga sangita. Indeed, this is the only way to achieve complete freedom from the material miseries which are arising from contact with material sense objects. Krishna says, this is the only way to gain freedom. So one has to achieve the stage of samadhi or trance through pure devotional service. So until one comes to the stage of perfection, there is a possibility of falling down. One can again fall down to the material world. The temptations are going to be there, allurements are there in varieties of forms. As he says here, external pressure, internal pressure. There is a tug of war between the two, always. You know, Billamangala Thakur, as you all will be knowing, he was attracted by this prostitute Chintamani. So, you know how he crossed, it was heavily raining, he crossed the river, he climbed up the wall, jumped into the house and met Chintamani. And Chintamani told him that if only you had so much eagerness to achieve Krishna, how easily you must have achieved him. So hearing his words, it struck like a thunderbolt in his head. Then he immediately left her and he wanted to achieve Krishna. But when he was going on the way, he again became attracted to another very beautiful woman. And she was actually married. Anybody who is married should be treated as a mother, according to Shastra, Matravat Paradharesha. But he became attracted to her. And he was so shameless that he went to the husband of that woman and told him, Ro, I am attracted to your wife so much. So he contemplated in his own mind, how abominable am I, that I am going to your husband and saying, your wife is beautiful, I want to enjoy her. How fallen am I? Thinking in this way, he made his two eyes blind by plucking them out. He removed both his eyes. After he plucked his eyes and he cried so much and repented so much, then Lord Krishna appeared in front of him and gave his darshan. And Lord again gave back his eyes. But do you know what Billamangala Thakur said? He said, my Lord, you have given me the beautiful darshan of your form. Now I don't want these eyes back. please take away his eyes. Having seen your beautiful form, I don't want to see any other beauty of this world. Please pluck out my eyes. I don't want the eyes. So again, Lord made him blind according to his desire. So, because the eyes were taken away, the beautiful form of Krishna remained in his mind for all time to come. Like that. So that's why it says, Yam Labhva Taha Param Labham Manyati Nadikantataha. When one achieves the beautiful form of the Lord Darshan, then one does not consider anything else to be greater than that. So Lord also says, in the third chapter, Kapila says, if one wants to overcome the lusty desires of one's heart and escape from them, the only way is to become attracted by the beautiful form of Lord's face, he says. So in that verse he says, Dhanayanam prahasitam bahuladarashta dasarunayatakano vijakundapanti dhyayesvadeha kuhareva titasvadishnor vajyardayarpitamanana pridagdibrikshet. He says, Dhanayanam prahasitam bahuladarashta. The Lord is smiling. If you see the beautiful deity of the Lord is smiling. And in that smile, you find the Lord's beautiful teeth arrayed like jasmine buds which are rendered rosy by the splendor of his lips. And if one looks at that smile of the Lord, Dhyanayanam prahasitam bahuladarashta dasarunayatakano vijakundapanti Yahya Sadeha Kudur. And such a beautiful Lord is seated in your own heart, he says, as Paramatma. You are Jivatma and the Lord is present as Paramatma. So you try to view that beautiful face of the Lord, Yahya Sadeha Kudur, Pashtasya Vishnu. By so doing, what will happen? Bhaktyar Dreyar Kitamana, he says. With love steeped with devotion, one should constantly behold this beautiful face of the Lord in front of oneself. And he says, Do not see in any other direction to any other so-called beauty of this material world. He says, you understand what is the other beauty of this world. So don't look towards that. Look only this beautiful face of the Lord. And fall in love with the Lord. Then you will not be tempted by anything. So by so doing, gradually one can advance more and more and more. So this world is experiencing Nindati Atman Yatsukham. He is experiencing a very great bliss that is within. Later on we'll be reading Yontasukhantara Aramas Tatantar Jyotirevaya. Later on we'll be reading Yo Antasukha. This Antasukha is explained as a person who is actively rejoicing within. Externally he may look like anybody else, he may look like an ordinary person, but he should be actively rejoicing within. 99% of the worldly people are actively rejoicing without, outside. So their joy, if you want to know whether they are happy or not, how should you see? You see them jumping, running here, there, doing hundreds of things. They are trying to be joyful. Like they have Disneyland, or they have so many varieties of things to enjoy like that, if you see. So they want to derive pressure, squeeze out some pressure from this dead body. This body cannot give any pressure to us, because it is dead. But they want to squeeze out some pressure. That is why Prahlad Maharaj says, Panaha Panaha Charvita Charvanana. Repeatedly they are trying to squeeze out some pressure from this body by trying in so many varieties of ways, by doing different adjustments in this world. Whereas this subtle soul, where is his pressure coming from? Nindati Atman Yatsukam. It's coming from the soul. How can the soul derive ananda alone? Ananda can be experienced only when there are two people. Who is the other person in the soul? That is the Paramatma, the Supreme Lord. So there is the Jivatma, there is Paramatma, and there is a relationship. So this loving relationship, when it is re-established in one's heart, that can bring forth so much joy, and in that ecstatic bliss, everything of this world will look puny, insignificant. That is why this great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, Prabodhananda Saraswati, he prayed for such a devotee who has achieved the mercy of Lord Gauranga. Everything of this world is insignificant. Not only sex pleasure. Sex pleasure is only one thing. There are pleasures. There are other pleasures like post of Indra, or post of Chandra, post of Brahma. So he prayed, Kaivalyam narakayate tadasa puraka asapushpayate durdan tendriya kala sarpapatali prakta asadamshayate vishvam purna sukhayate vijimahendra adishtakitayate tadkarin nakatakshavai pavavutam tamgaurame vastumaha. He prayed, Kaivalyam narakayate. I consider the Brahmananda to be a naraka, he said. Hell. Why? Because in Brahma there is no service to the Lord. So I consider it hellish. So this is poor Akasha Pushpayate. All the happinesses that can be derived in the heavenly planets, I consider it like the Akasha Pushpa, he said, a flower in the sky. Can there be a flower in the sky? Only in your dream you can have a flower in the sky. It's like a flower in the sky or like a horse's egg. Is there an egg of a horse? So he considered it like that. He never even considered going to 100 planets. Forget about it. Damn it, he said. Don't consider it. He said, Pura Akasha Pushpayate. Durdantente Karasapakali Pratkata Danstrayate. He says, the venomous serpents, named with the senses, which are constantly craving for material pleasure, moment after moment. You can see how your eyes are always mischievous. They want to look towards beautiful forms. Always in the world, you can see that. You see? Although you may be a devotee, wanting as a devotee, you can wear tilak, you can wear dress of a devotee, but you can see within the mind there is always a temptation. So, allurement, you want to look beautiful forms. But in the same way, the ears want to hear cinema music. Similarly, nose wants to smell some pungent odor. Tongue wants to taste something which is very nicely spiced. You think at least once in a while I should get something spiced. You see? That is, ever since I become a devotee, I am eating very simple sattvic foodstuff. It's like my tongue has become dead. You put something softish and put some, what do you say? Something like, we generally nowadays we put only hara mirchi, we put lal mirchi. So your tongue is demanding, all your senses are demanding like this. But here he says, the senses which are like serpents, which are always demanding, their teeth is removed. Then one gets large mercy. It is the most dangerous part of a serpent, the venomous teeth. What is that venomous teeth compared to? It is compared to the propensity to enjoy. The snakes are compared to the senses, and the propensity to enjoy in the senses is compared to the teeth. When the teeth is removed, the senses become very harmless. That is why a pure devotee is very, very harmless. He cannot cause any harm to anybody. In fact, he is a well-wisher of every living entity. And then he says, Visham Purna Sukhaya, that the entire world looks like a joyous place. Because for a devotee, this world itself looks like a Vaikuntha for him. Wherever he turns around, he sees that people are all devotees of Krishna. And all the things that are given to me are all meant for Krishna service. So everything looks joyful for him. Vidhi Mahendra Adhishta Kitayate. The post of Brahma and Indra looks like a small kita. Vidhi Mahendra Adhishta Kitayate. Like a small kita. Like a small worm in the stool. He never pays any value to such big posts. He considers it insignificant. Who? That Karanya Kataksha Gautam. One who has got the Karanya Kataksha of the Lord. He is a pure devotee. So such a devotee alone can feel like that. So he is not attracted to anything of this world. He considers this Bhashat Pasha to be insignificant. So we can appreciate it. Now we can also stand on the side of pure devotees and say that all this Bhashat Pasha is useless. We can certainly preach about it. We can certainly think about it to be tuccha, to be bad. But although we call it tuccha, we call it bad, still we will be tempted time to time. But we should try to firmly root ourselves in Krishna consciousness and gradually come to a realized state at which we will be able to appreciate that it is really insignificant and we don't want to enjoy that. Now our condition is something like a diabetes patient who is told by the doctor, don't eat mangoes. Isn't it? Don't eat any sweets. So diabetes patient, if somebody gives mango, he says, no, I don't like mango. I don't like sweets. Why you don't like? Is it like the frost who could not reach the grapes? So now we are avoiding this, things like that. Still we have temptation towards them. Time to time we are attracted, tempted towards them in a conditioned stage. But when we advance more and more and come to the stage of this self-realized soul, we'll be able to say a bold no to them. In fact, at that such a stage, even when facility is given for enjoyment, you will not want to enjoy. Now at this stage, even if there is no facility, you try to enjoy. You try to bring about an opportunity at this stage, isn't it? Whereas in a liberated stage like this, even given an opportunity for enjoyment, you will not enjoy. That is true detachment. And then if somebody says, even renunciation, you can renounce something only when you possess something, isn't it? Otherwise, how can I renounce something? If somebody says, you go to the marketplace and say, I renounce this Mercedes car. I renounce this bungalow. First of all, you should possess it. So a person who possesses something and says, I renounce it, then it is a great thing. So in the same way, in the liberated stage, when one is given all enjoyment, one can have thousands of followers. One can have thousands of beautiful women. Nadanam, nadanam, nasundarini, he says. But still one does not enjoy anything. One completely renounces everything. Dhanam, janam, sundaram, everything. So that is true detachment. Vashasparshesha saktatma vindati atmani yatsatam sadamma yoga yuktatma. This is the reason. Brahma yoga yuktatma is engaged in the yoga yukta. Sukamakshaya masnita. He enjoys unlimited passion to bliss. Such a person can tell the shloka, Yadavadhi mama cheta krishna padara jinde navanavarasadama nudyatarantamase padavati patanari sangane paryamane bhavati mukavipara shashtanishthivanancha. So Yamanacharya said so boldly, he told the shloka, Yadavadhi mama cheta krishna padara jinde. Whenever thoughts of Krishna come in my mind, new year and new year and new year transcendental fresh mellows are coming in my mind in relationship with Krishna. And I am experiencing so much transcendental humor in playing with him, in relishing reciprocation with him, that when at any point of time in my mind the thought of Nari Sangane Smaryamane, associating with a woman, when that thought comes to my mind, my lips curl in distaste and I spit at the very thought of it, he says. So he can spit at it. How? Because he is relishing his relationship with Krishna. So this is a very essential point we should remember. That unless we develop a relationship with Krishna, it is not possible to reject material pleasure. So we have to become detached from matter and attached to Krishna. So these both things can go on parallelly. So in this shloka, today we could see only two. So next week we can see the other two. 18 to 22 is the symptoms of self-realized soul. Hare Krishna. One question? No, everyone is given the same amount of freedom. Every soul. See, the soul is not given unlimited freedom. It is given limited freedom. Just like a cow that is tied to a pivot, the cow can gaze to a certain limit. Similarly, the soul is also given a limited amount of freedom and also given the same amount of freedom.
Initially, you said about two things. Pleasure derived
with sense intelligence. Huh? Sense indulgence, not intelligence.
Indulgence.
Indulgence, sir.
That is
pleasure. Oh, no, that is.
Pleasure.
Okay, sense indulgence means like I was telling, you know, tongue, nose, eyes, everything. Want to enjoy with them. So, this is sense intelligence. Sense abstinence means using the senses purely for Krishna service. That is sense abstinence.